Before we begin, let's bow our heads for prayer one more time. Our Father in heaven, as we open up thy word, as we study today, we pray for your Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and our minds and give courage to those that are weak-hearted. And Lord, we want to thank you for thy holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, we are living in dark days. And they're going to get even darker. So we need hope and encouragement during these dark days. The book of Habakkuk is one of the most pertinent books in the Bible for these desperate days in which we live. The theme of our message today is giving thanks in dark days. It is easy to praise the Lord when everything is going well, isn't it? When the sun is shining and we're happy and our health is good and we and our families around us are prosperous, then we can say, "Thank you, Lord. You've been so good." However, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18 says, we are to be giving thanks always for all things, and sometimes that is difficult, especially during dark days. My friends, dark days are all around us. And I don't wish to discourage you, but according to the Bible, they're going to get even darker. We need to be prepared for whatever may happen in the future. And the Bible foretells a time of trouble coming upon this earth, such as the world has never before seen. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now that word perilous is only used twice in the Bible. One of the times was in describing the demoniacs who came to Jesus out of the tombs and were called exceedingly fierce. Continuing on now with 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, when it says men, that's generic. That means mankind, or men and women. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Doesn't this describe the world today in which we live? Perilous times shall come, the Bible says. Well, the prophet Habakkuk had a problem in his days like our days. They were dark days as he looked around and he saw crime, violence, hatred, and excessive indulgences in sensual pleasure everywhere. As he prayed about it, the heavens seemed as though they were like brass. And he would cry to God while it seemed as if God was not listening. Where is God? Is God too weak to do anything about it? Or does God simply not even care? Today we're praying earnestly while it seems as if things are getting worse rather than getting better. And very frankly, this is causing some people to stumble in their Christian experience. Now, it is not the problem of science that is causing people to stumble. It is not how the world was created, but the problem of history and how the world is going to end. That is what is causing many people to stumble in their Christian walk. There is a culture of unbelief permeating the church as well as out there in the world. You can preach your heart out And people just will not listen. A guide in one of the largest museums in Israel was asked if he believed in God. And the guide said, "No." "Why don't you believe in God?" He said, "Because of the Holocaust. It is impossible for me to believe in the God who would allow that to happen." Friends, it is the problem of history that is causing many to stumble and say, "Where is God?" And that is what Habakkuk was facing in his day. They had forgotten how God had led them in their past history. And very frankly, it's what we're going to be facing in our day too. So I want you to learn how to give thanks in dark days. The spirit of prophecy tells us that we have nothing to fear for the future, only as we forget how the Lord has led us in our past history. Now, there are three propositions that come out of this book of Habakkuk, and I'm going to build on those propositions around the three chapters. Chapter 1 deals with what I would call a perplexing problem. He looked around and he saw things that perplexed him. He couldn't understand. Chapter 2 deals with a proper perspective. He finally began to see the situation from God's point of view. Chapter 3 deals with a profound praise. Here he begins to praise God, not in the absence of problems, but in the very midst of those problems. Peace is the peace that passes understanding. Brothers and sisters, peace is not the subtraction of problems of life. It is the addition of power to meet those problems.
Amen.
So let's look into the book of Habakkuk. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. Here Habakkuk is talking about these people who are wicked. He says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith." My friends, if you see somebody that is really high up and leaning over, you know he is about to fall. His pride is lifted up. But he's like a man that's walking on a girder in one of those skyscrapers that's being built, and he's beginning to lean over the edge. He is about to fall. And this is the way Habakkuk is describing the wicked. But he also says in this verse that the just shall live by his faith. And this verse is quoted three times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and in the book of Hebrews. And it is a key verse. The just shall live by his faith. Keep this in mind, because when these dark days come, and they are coming, there is no doubt about that at all. You're going to need something to hold on to. You're going to need something to live by, and it is faith. Faith is not smoke and mirrors. Faith has spiritual steel and concrete in it. You need something rock solid to stand on. You do not need to be walking around on jello and eggshells. You don't need to be blown about by the storms of calamity and the winds of circumstances and the floods of distress. You need a sure place to stand. You need something to live by. If there ever were a book to live by in this age, it is the book of Habakkuk. That it tells us that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Now there are three thoughts I have for you today. The first is, faith does not live by explanations, but by promises, by God's promises. Most of us want God to explain things to us. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? We want God to explain things, don't we? Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow me to lose my job? Why did my house burn down? Or why can't I pay my bills? Why do you do it this way? But my friends, faith does not live by explanations, but by God's promises. Now let me show you the problem Habakkuk had and why he wanted God to explain a few things to him. He said in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you of violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention." Here Habakkuk is saying, just look, God. Look at the violence. Look at the spoiling. Look at the strife. Look at the contention. Lord, I have prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and you don't hear. How long, Lord, shall I cry to you? By the way, you see the word cry there two times in verse 2. The first cry is like a cry for help. If you're sinking, you cry, "Help, save me." The second cry is almost a shout or a scream. And this is where Habakkuk is. There was silence, and heaven's silence was compounded by Israel's sins. Look in verses 3 and 4 now. "Why do you make me to see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." My brothers and sisters, we have more judges, more courts, more jails than ever before, and yet there is no justice in the land. And Habakkuk's day was like our day. By the way, Jeremiah was a contemporary of Habakkuk. Jeremiah said in chapter 8, verse 12, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush." Friends, sin today is absolutely arrogant as it stalks through the land, while we have a generation of unblushables. Is it not incredible what people will say and do on TV? Incredible. "Neither could they blush," the Bible says. My friends, sin used to slink down back alleys. Now it struts down Main Street. And Habakkuk says, "God, where are you?" And by the way, this is the last stage of any civilization when that civilization begins to boast of its sins. Heaven's silence, earth's sins, and the enemy's success. It just seems like the devil was having a heyday here. And then God says to Habakkuk in verse 5, "Do you want to know something, Habakkuk? Behold," or "look among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." In other words, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something you will not believe. I am going to raise up that wicked Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans were the Babylonians who were very cruel, fierce, and they were an ungodly pagan nation, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places or the houses that are not theirs. Do you want me to tell you what's going to happen, Habakkuk? It is going to get worse. Here Habakkuk was looking for relief and release, and what does he see? He sees heaven's silence, Israel's sins, and the enemy's success. Heavenly Father, what is happening? Where are you? Now, if you're not careful, you will feel the same way in our day as Habakkuk felt in his day. This book of Habakkuk is written for our day today, for you and for me. Now, friends, we do not live by explanations. We want God to explain it to us, but if we had to have everything explained to us that we enjoy, we would not do anything. I wouldn't have had almond milk on my cereal this morning. The simplest things we do not understand. And many people don't understand what makes an airplane fly. Don't ask God to explain everything to you, and don't ask God to cram His plan into our puny little minds, because He would be limited by our understanding. Jesus said in John 16:12 that He had many things that He wanted to tell the disciples, but they were not able to bear it. It's been said that where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. Now, there are many things we just do not understand. However, just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. Verse 5 says, I'm going to show you a wonder and a marvel which you will not believe, even if I tell you. Why? Well, because my ways, the Lord says, are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts, says the Lord, way high above our thoughts. Now, here is Habakkuk with a problem. Heaven's silence, Israel's sins, and the enemy's success. And he says, God, I just don't understand. And then he is stunned when he does get the answer. God says, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, and they're going to march through your land. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Habakkuk says, now wait a minute, Lord. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. Do you see how Habakkuk here is reasoning with the Lord? O Lord, you have ordained them for judgment, not us. It is the Babylonians. And, O mighty God, you have established them for correction, not us. They are the guys that need to get it in the neck. You are a purer eyes and to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Why do you look upon them, that is the Babylonians, that deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked, now watch this, when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? Habakkuk 1, verses 12 and 13. How can you do this, Lord? You say you're going to send the Babylonians over here to wipe us out. Now, Lord, we may be bad, but we aren't like them. You see, Habakkuk had the idea that God grades on the curve. We do the same thing. If you're a Democrat, you may say, we're bad, but we're not like those Republicans. Or if you're a Republican, you might say, we're not like those immoral Democrats. I may be bad, but I'm not like my neighbor. Friends, we love to stretch ourselves out alongside some hypocrite and measure ourselves by that hypocrite and say, we're a little longer than he is, so therefore we must be okay. God, we're bad, but we're not as bad as they are. Now, we print on our money, in God we trust. But we have me first in our hearts. We think that somehow God is going to overlook our sins. Well, friends, it is so very, very important what we must understand about faith. Faith does not live by explanations, but by promises, God's promises. God is not going to explain everything to us. If He did explain, we could not understand. And if we could understand it, we would probably not agree with it. We must live by God's promises and get a bulldog grip on those promises and don't turn loose. This is what chapter 1 is all about. Now here's the second thing I'd like for you to see. Faith does not live by appearances either, but by providence. We need to see the promises of God and look beyond explanations. And we need to see the providence of God and look beyond appearances. Because if we put our eyes on things as they appear, we're going to get awfully confused or discouraged. Please turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 now. There it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. That means what God will say to him. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. Here Habakkuk knows he's going to be reproved. Habakkuk says, look, I've been questioning and arguing and telling God how to do it. Now I'm going to be quiet and listen to what God has to say. You see, Habakkuk had a prayer tower and has gone up into it and says, okay, I am going to watch. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be quiet so you can speak. Friends, so many of us, when we pray, we say, listen, Lord. Listen, Lord, your servant speaks. Rather than saying, speak, Lord, your servant listens. My friends, do you have a place where you can be alone with God? You ought to. A place where you can just be quiet. God says, be still. Be still. Be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. That's in Psalm 46, verse 10. When Habakkuk quit talking and got quiet, he began to see the providence of God. He began to see God working providentially in the following ways. Number one, the reliability of Scripture. Verse 2 says, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that reads it. Now when he said to write the vision, he was saying, write out the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to give you a vision, so write it down. Write it down, so he may run that reads it. Now, what does he mean when he says here, run? Well, my friends, you and I are in a race. And we need to get our instructions so that we can run. The problem with many so-called preachers is that they run before they read. Also, many so-called Bible students are talking about things that they do not understand because they have not gotten the vision that's been written upon tablets so that they can read it. Notice what it says about the reliability of Scripture here in verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Now, what he is saying is this. I'm going to give you something, Habakkuk, that people in later years can use. That people in 2013 at the Midtown Church can use in their Christian walk. And make it clear for these people so that they can trust in the Word of God. Friends, in these shaky days in which we live, we had better get a tight grip on the Word of God. Now, what is happening today is we're going off into thoughts and emotional feelings and ecstasies and philosophies rather than the Word of God. There used to be a time when preachers would say, "The Bible says." And then they started to say, "The church says." Now they just scratch their heads and say, "Well, it seems to me." Friends, God in His providence has given us His Word and the Spirit of prophecy, and we don't have to be tossed about like a ship at sea without a rudder on a dark and stormy night without a compass. We have a sure Word of God, our Father. God did not only give Habakkuk the reliability of the Scriptures, but He gave him the resource or the storehouse of aid and strength in the time of need, which is faith. Look in the last part of verse 4. "The just shall live by faith." Now, in these dark days, when you have faith, you look beyond the physical to the spiritual. You look beyond the present to the future. You look beyond the temporary to the eternal. Don't judge things by their appearance. Live by faith. Faith is really the only resource we're going to have in these days, and it is so important that you live by faith. Not by how much money you have in your wallet or in the bank account, but by faith. The most powerful force on earth is faith. A living faith. And very closely linked with a living faith is a trust that does not waver, but coupled with faith keeps our focus looking up steadfastly to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a reason when the Apostle Paul quoted this verse in Romans 1, verses 15 through 19, where it says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as Habakkuk has written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Now, this is the verse that convicted Martin Luther and caused the Protestant Reformation. Faith in dark times and in dark ages. Martin Luther read this scripture, "The just shall live by faith." And in these days, in these end times, we need to live by faith. A faith that will transform us into obedient children. A faith that transforms. My friends, not only did Habakkuk see the reliability of the Scripture, and not only did Habakkuk see the resource of the Christian, but he also saw the retribution of the sinner. Habakkuk was afraid the Chaldeans were going to get away with all the things that they were doing wrong, with all their sins, and that God had gone soft on sin. Oh, no, 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 no. God lists five woes against the Babylonians and even the Israelis who were not doing right. Let's start with chapter 2, verse 6. "Woe unto him that increases that which is not his." Now, God is talking here about the grasping materialism of that day when people were out to cheat, gouge, and take that which is not theirs. By the way, this one verse here is enough against gambling. Someone says, "What's wrong with gambling?" Read it right there. "Woe unto him that increases that which is not his." Gambling is an effort to get that which belongs to someone else into your possession by luck. Gambling is an economic fraud. And that includes the lottery. I hope none of you here play the lottery. Gambling is against all honest business. All honest business is a win-win. All gambling is based on win-lose. You cannot have winners without losers. In a legitimate business, everybody wins. In an illegitimate business, somebody is cheated, rooked, or robbed. Look at verse 9, chapter 2 now. Woe to the one who amasses profit upon unjust profit in order to establish his household. Now this is talking about people who cannot be satisfied and they covet. Now look in verse 12. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Do you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about murderous ways in which to gain power. You say, well, that doesn't happen in America. Friends, it is happening in America. There are those politicians who will stand up and say, if you will vote for me, I will see to it that it will continue to be legal to kill babies in America. They call that pro-choice. But they never finish the sentence. The sentence is, it is pro-choice to kill a baby. That's what the choice is all about. And woe unto them that build a town with blood and establish a city by iniquity. My friends, I'm telling you that America's soil is stained with the blood of little unborn babies, and God said, woe to a nation that does that. Look now in verse 15. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk. My friends, the curse of God is on the liquor industry. Liquor is brewed with tears, flavored with death, thickened with blood, and has a judgment of God upon it. Look now in verse 19. Woe unto him that says to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Now, this is talking here about idolatry. You say, well, Pastor, we don't have idols here in America. Of course we do. Some of them are made out of chrome and fiberglass and steel. Others are made out of wood and stone. And some are made out of paper and tobacco. And now, we are even going back to the nature gods. We now have earth days so that we can go out and worship dirt. We've gone from Father God to Mother Earth. Five times the Lord says, woe, 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 woe. Why? Well, because God says, look at my providence. There is a reliability of Scripture. There is a resource of faith. I've given you the word, believe it. There is a retribution of the sinner. I'm going to judge. And here is a sweet, sweet part of it. There is the reign of the Savior. Friends, do you have the heebie-jeebies and headline hysteria? You want to know how it's all going to end? Go back to chapter 2, verse 14, and just look at it again. What a powerful, encouraging verse. I love it. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Now, this has not yet happened, but it will happen. Jesus taught us to pray. And what did he teach us to pray? He said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he made a promise, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5, verse 5. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Now look in chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple, that all the earth keeps silence before Him. Now just what is this saying? Habakkuk is saying, God, where are you? God says, Habakkuk, I am up here in my holy temple. My friends, God is God, and there is no panic in heaven. God is in His holy temple, and this earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. My friends, faith looks beyond appearances to providence. Now here's the third thing. Faith does not live by circumstances, but by praise. If you live by circumstances, you will be riding a roller coaster. But if you begin to praise God, even in bad circumstances, you're going to find out that your life is going to be transformed. So, just why do we praise the Lord? Well, first of all, for sheer glory. For sheer glory. My friends, when things get dark and you need to pray, just rejoice in God's glory. Next, rejoice in God's goodness. Look at verse 17, chapter 3. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no crops. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is saying here, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this much, that God is still on the throne. My standard of living may change, but my purpose and my principles of life will not change. My friends, we don't need this world's goods to make us joyful. Things are not evil in themselves, but they should never be the source of our joy. Our joy must come from the Lord. That's the reason we can give thanks. It doesn't mean that everything that happens is good, but it does mean that God is good. And God overrules all things. You may never know that God is enough until God is all that you have. Did you understand that? You may never know that God is enough until God is all that you have. When God is all that you have, you may wonderfully discover then that God is enough. Amen. If the fields refuse to harvest and the trees no longer bear, if the flocks forsake their shepherd and my head be bowed with care, yet I know His ways are wondrous. This man made out of dust with these lips of clay shall praise Him though the world return to lust. If the roses lose their fragrance, if the birds no longer sing, if the rivers cease their flowing and the bells refuse to ring, still I know that God is in heaven and I know that all is well. So my lips shall sing His praises and the gospel story tell. I will praise Him. There will be a brighter day. There will be a brighter tomorrow. For God will never pass away nor change. And that is what Habakkuk is saying to us today. Now let me summarize very briefly here. There are three very important thoughts that we must not forget, but hold on to as the very last breath for our survival in these last days. Number one, our faith must be firmly fixed on the sure promises of God's Word, not on explanations. Number two, never forget that faith does not grow and live by appearances, but by the providence of the Lord. We must be quiet and listen to Him through His sure, reliable Word and the Holy Spirit. And number three, faith does not live by circumstances, but by praise and rejoicing in God's glory. His goodness and the lasting joy that only He can give. No matter what we must experience, our focus must be on God and His goodness, in spite of what is happening now. There is a better day ahead. The glorious kingdom of our God is very near at hand, and the vital resource of our survival will be our living faith in God and obedience to His commandments. God is a good God. He loves us so very, very much. And He is not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You've given us the book of Habakkuk. This man has gone through a tremendous experience, and he's been able to survive it through faith and trust in You. But the road to help him to survive it was fraught with trials and tests that he didn't understand. And so many times we have trials that we're going through that we don't understand. Why are we struggling the way we are? Why doesn't God open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing that He's promised? What is He trying to say to us? What is He trying to get through to our minds that perhaps we might not be doing according to His Word? What sin may be lurking in our lives that may be inhibiting Him from pouring out His blessing upon us? What's He asking us to do that will open up the windows of heaven? Lord, help us. Help us to earnestly pray for Your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and teach us what You want us to learn, so that we can then give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that You are doing for us, in and through us. And we thank You for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.